Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom. Frockaholic. Talkaholic. Part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. It's also brought to you by The Nook. 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Amazing food, amazing folks. Painter's Mill, just off Cave Neck Road, just off Route 1. And an ambulance just pulled in. I guess look for the ambulance. How is everybody doing? Oh, what a great day. Nice run, surprise. Got up this morning, was not going to run. Decided to. It was a good choice. It's a great choice, great run. Didn't, you know, nothing spectacular. Walked a little. What is today? November. December 1st, people. I got another book. Should we read some of it? I read it before. It's a little windy, a little lengthy. It's a little more, I don't know. December 1st. We begin to pray only for God's will for us. That way we get only what we are capable of handling. I don't know. There's a lot of reading. I'm not going to read it. Never mind. Forget that. Why overcomplicate things? You know, I was, I don't have much going on this morning. I'm working. This is one of those weeks that happens every, I don't know. It usually happens around now, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm in the hair business. And, you know, everybody's focusing on, you know, Christmassy stuff, right? You know, checking their funds. You know, how much money did we have? You know, did we save? I always try to save money for Christmas. Do you do that? I've talked about Christmas. It's a tough time of the year for me. I'm always going broke. But, you know, I have to put money aside, and I've learned over the years that this is a sketchy time of the year for me, so I try to prepare a little bit, but you can never have enough money. And, you know, I talked about the other day, you know, about projecting and I did a podcast with the Rehoboth Social Podcast with Cheryl Crow, not the singer, the local girl, Cheryl Lynn Crow, great girl. But we talked about, you know, projecting and unfortunately, a lot of the time when we project, we end up living in it.
And in time, this one reminds the other of a past, a life lived much too fast to hold on to. How am I losing you? A broken house, another dry month waiting for the rain. And I have been resisting this decay. I thought you'd do the same. But this is all I ever was. And this is all you came across those years ago. Now you go too far. Don't tell me that I changed, because that's not the truth. And now I'm losing you.
Fragile. I think a lot of people do that. Do you do that? Project and then live with the consequences. Make up stuff in your head and then react to it. That's like saying, I may win the lottery. Let me go start clearing a lot for my big house I'm going to build. And then being stressed out because it's difficult to get somebody to clear the lot for this new house that you're going to build, which you haven't even won the lottery for. Start putting more shit on your plate. And you start living a stressed out life with something that isn't even really true. That's kind of an extreme example, but I do it. You know, this is the time of the year where a lot of people aren't getting their hair done. A This is a time of year where a lot of people schedule appointments. They have to move and change. And then on top of all that, you know, with COVID, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling with jobs and finding work and kind of trying to get a new job. So, you know, there's a lot of people with priorities. Getting their hair isn't one of them. Getting their hair taken care of isn't one of them. So that allows me to start thinking, oh boy, they must have figured it out. I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody's coming back. I start projecting. And then I start living like this failure life. Well, it was a good run. It was a good run, Tom. You did 10 years in this business and you did pretty good. Instead of like reflecting, and if I was to reflect, I would reflect on that I've had this shop for 10 years. 10 Christmases we've been through. 10 Thanksgivings. This is our first pandemic, but. And 10 times I've gone through this, and 10 times I've forgotten that I've gone through this and it works out. Do I need to pull the phrase from the Matt H., who was so great at dumbing things down for me? As long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out. I've referred to that many times over the years. What is it with me reflecting, or no, excuse me, projecting? Reflecting, projecting, reflecting. What is it with me projecting the worst? Or the best, I guess. I don't usually project the best. I usually project the worst. Failure. Losing everything, living under an underpass. It's easy projection. I don't really have to put a lot of effort into it. I can just pull out something stupid, throw it out there, and then suffer from it. Or if I do a little reflecting, take some of the information I learned in the reflection, maybe it'll make my projection a little different. It's sounding a little silly, but it's kind of, you know, it's where I'm at. It's what's going on with me. I have got to look at the whole picture. I've got to look at the whole picture. I need to stop. Well, this really, I mean, honestly, this is all about really staying in the moment. Staying on our square. Staying on my square. I won't speak for you. Who are you? Speaking for me, I need to stay on my square, stay in the moment, gather the evidence that is real, disregard all guessing and projecting. But that takes a lot of work. You know, I have to look back at the past and realize that this is, and what I do know is that this is And if I was to ask anybody, you know, I was talking to my buddy Carlos, slowest November they've ever had. My November hasn't really been bad. In fact, I can remember last week somebody asking me, how's business? And me in this grumpy, scourged kind of way saying, it's too busy. Now I'm too busy, right? That's how it was 2 weeks ago. Too busy. A little bit grumpy about it. Little bit of a bad attitude. Two people cancel and there's a no-show and all of a sudden I'm in the complete opposite. You know, I'm going to, you know, become bankrupt. What's the matter with me? What is the matter with me? I don't think this has anything to do with drinking. Drinking didn't make me like this. Drugging didn't make me like this. I'm sure all these skills that I have in projecting and reflecting would be great in a world that wasn't like this. Maybe if it was like a life of survival, you know. I don't know. But for some reason, I go tragic. And it isn't tragic. It's pretty mellow. I should be like, oh, it's slow this week. Let me just take advantage of the slow week and really maybe. And that's kind of what I've been doing. And to really, you know, I'm making a lot of drama out of this. But the reality is that I do know. 10 years later, I do know this is a slow week. This is a slow month. You know, this is a great opportunity for me to, you know, catch up on some stuff. Get the salon cleaned up. You know, I've been saving, you know, we're trying to move. I've been saving boxes. I've been stuffing boxes in this back part of the salon. It looks like shit. You know, I took the time the other day and I picked up all the boxes and organized them and cleaned them up. You know, this is a good time to, you know, see what we need to order, get caught up in some other stuff. Take advantage of it. Doesn't have to be a month of moping. And listen, I am busy. I mean, I'm busy. It's just I have holes in my book. And people are moving. Like today. Today was a great day. And then all of a sudden someone had to move. And then someone had to cancel. And now I've got 3 hours in the middle of my day open. And 3 hours for me to, you know, be negative, I guess. And I'm not going to do it. I'm actually kind of grateful. I'm going to do another podcast with Tiff. Maybe do our In Too Deep podcast with Carlos. You know, we were supposed to go somewhere away at the end of the week. And that's the other thing. I was supposed to block out my book for Friday, Saturday, and Monday. You know, I was going to block that out. But now, since we're not going to go to Connecticut because of everything that's going on, I didn't block out my book. There was actually clients that were on my book for Friday and Saturday and Monday. So I left them there, and I'll be doing those people. I have to remind myself that there's always an upside to everything. I mean, do you do that? Is there people out there that kind of understand what I'm talking about? Get caught up in that that stuff? It's a tricky world out there. Okay, well, let's see. I did a podcast the other day. I thought it sounded like nonsense. I think I wrote, I don't even know what I said. That was the title. I'm not even sure what I just said. And I ran this morning, listened to it. It was pretty good. I mean, you know. It didn't sound like a complete idiot. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's see. Drum roll. Ooh, December 1st. Suggested steps. Our 12th step also says that as a result of practicing all the steps, we have each found something called a spiritual awakening. AA's manner of making ready to receive this gift lies in the practice of the 12 steps in our program. I remember my sponsor's answer when I told him that the steps were suggested. He replied that they are suggested in the same way that if you were to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, it is suggested that you pull the ripcord to save your life. That's funny. He pointed out that it was suggested I practice the 12 steps if I wanted to save my life. So I try to remember daily that I have a whole program of recovery based on all 12 of the suggested steps. That's a great point. Great point. That is 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 106 to 107. I mean, I think I've even been kind of in it at some point. I know people will come in and do the first step and, you know, the first three steps really make us feel good. And then they decide that they're just going to save the world and go right to the 12th step. It doesn't ever work out. And even if it looks like it does, I'm sure it isn't. Because you really can only benefit, I think, from practicing all 12 steps. But that doesn't mean if you're not comfortable doing that to give up. It takes time. One of the cool things about the 12-step program of AA and stuff like that is that, you know, I just kept going. You know, and maybe during the whole time I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's working. You know, the spiritual awakening, a relationship with a higher power. I wasn't feeling like it was happening. But I just kept going. And then it's like you start to get a little bit better. You start to feel a little bit more part of it. You know, they say, you know, use the group as your higher power. You know, you want to, you don't want to disappoint the group, but you also don't want to get it caught up in, like, it's so important that you impress the group as, at the same time. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to let the group down. That's why they say, you know, get involved. You know, get a home group. Get a sponsor. You know, get a responsibility, you know, making the coffee. Bringing in cookies, you know, just simple cookies. Don't make a big deal of it. Just bring in the cookies. That's the job. Just bring the cookies. I used to go to buy the dollar store and just buy dollar cookies. I mean, what does it matter? But you start becoming part of a group, and then people start saying, hey, you know, good evening. Tom, how you been, man? How you been? Did you have a good week? You start to feel part of the group, and then the next time, you know, you may choose or may be thinking of doing something maybe the group wouldn't approve of. Maybe you think twice, right? I remember when I first came into this, when I was first trying to get sober, and I had gotten caught doing something. It, you know, my life never changes unless I'm caught. I like to try to say that it's not that way today, but, you know, in the past, that's what my history has been. You know, we only change until the pain stops, right? And that would happen a lot. And I remember, you know, I was working at the shortstop and I was really struggling with my addiction, and my boss had kind of, you know, called me out on it. And they almost did like this small little intervention with my parents and my boss and my manager. And, you know, they were worried about me and concerned, and, you know, really what he was worried about is like, listen, if you're not going to get, you know, yourself together, I'm going to fire you. And my dad's like, well, I heard, you know, he talked to somebody who talked to somebody who knew a guy, right, who was sober. And he was almost like this, you know, at the time he was like the godfather of AA of the area, which, in, you know, was a little fucking stupid anyway, but call this guy. So I did, and I remember going to the meeting, and I got there probably, you know, one minute to spare, got there. Left as soon as it was over, and probably went and drank afterwards. I remember going to meetings and drinking after. Just not really wanting to get sober. And that's always, 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 always been my problem. It's never the program. It's never the rehab. It's never the outpatient program. It's none of that. Because if you were to look at me and look at all the programs and shit that I'd done and none of them had worked, you would think that none of those programs work. And it was really that I just did not want to get sober. I liked it. It hadn't gotten bad enough for me. But when I finally did, and I, you know, I still don't even know if I wanted to get sober when I got sober. I know I wanted to stop getting caught at it. I've said that before. I got sober because I wanted to stop getting caught. My life had become unmanageable for everybody else. And that would be the beginning of me getting sober. But when I finally decided to, I got to that meeting a half hour early. Making the coffee, staying a half hour after, putting everything away, cleaning up. Couldn't get me out of there. Excuse me. When I was ready, there was nothing stopping me. It was pretty awesome. But you got to go, right? You got to go. You got to show up. Because eventually, the guilt and shame wear off. That's one of the hard parts about sobriety is that, you know, you asked me that day, you know, after I had to get stitches, you know, what happened? oh, I drank too much and I can't keep my mouth shut and I got my ass kicked and it's awful. But if you ask me a year later, I'd be like, eh, I don't even know if I said anything. I think I just got hit. Like, my disease wants to, you know, soften it a bit. You know, I think I got 15 stitches. A year later, it was probably 7. You know, ask me today, I think they may have taped it closed. You know, it's always getting less and less of a thing. At some point, I'm like, I don't even know why I got sober. It wasn't even that big of a deal. But if you'd asked me that night, it was mortifying. I remember checking myself into the hospital, and then that Tuesday night, somebody from AA came up. There was a meeting there, and they came up, and they said, hey, you want to go to the meeting? And I said, yeah. And I went down to the meeting, and they all made fun of my beat-up face. I'd like to see the other guy. You know, whatever the fuck they say. And I was ready, I think. I don't know. Because every day it gets a little better. But you hope by the time that shows back up, that voice that says, ah, was it that bad? Because it did show back up. Look how good you've done. You deserve a drink. You hope that when that happens that you've built up enough, you put enough work into this sobriety thing that, you know, maybe you'll have a chance. You know, if you walk in and you're like, I don't know about this, I'm going to walk out. You hope that somebody goes, hey, Tom, you know, where are you going, man? You good? Or, you know, when you have a relationship with somebody in a program and you see them like walk out of a meeting, you have the guy that walks out and just keeps walking and nobody follows. Or if you have somebody that's been around for a few months and that's been trying and that life starts showing back up and then you see them kind of like leaving early, maybe I'll get up and walk out and say, hey, bro, you all right? Everything good? That might be the only thing that saves us. But if you come into this program or into a program or whatever it is that you do, and you hang out on the outskirts, you show up at the last minute, you leave at the last minute, when life comes back and starts telling you you deserve a drink, and you start walking out, you have no relationships, nobody follows you out, and then that's exactly what happens. And that's a drag. Because usually, you know, we put a lot of work into it. I love to be sober. I want to help anybody that wants to be sober. I want to help anybody that doesn't want to be sober. This isn't a drinking problem. You might be having a drinking problem now, but when you put down the drink, you realize it's really a life problem. It's really a self problem. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I'm sure that works well somewhere. You know, I was thinking what life would be like if I was the only person on the planet. A self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility and I'm the only one on the planet. It would not be a problem. If you can go live on an island by yourself without having to interact with human beings, do whatever you want. But I have to live with my family, you know, my clients, my friends. I want to be the best me. And just a guy that doesn't drink isn't always the best me. You know, my life today is about me, taking care of me and my family, but also being there for my friends and other people that are sober. You know, if someone's struggling, they know they can call me. People do. If people are having a challenge and they think that I might be able to help, they reach out. And if I can, I do. I just had a girlfriend, but she's a girl and she's a friend. She's a podcast for me. And her grandfather's having some trouble with the Veterans Association. He's a World War II veteran and he can't pay for his room and board. And my father's a veteran, and he's working with veterans here. I didn't realize he was from New Jersey, but I still put her in touch with another veteran that she can call and maybe get something to help with her grandfather. I want to be available for people. Not existing the way that I used to exist. I hope everyone's having a great day. That's a pretty good reading. I remember my sponsor's answer when I told him that the steps were suggested. All the stuff I said just now is suggested, but it's really, you know, if getting sober is on at the top of your priority list, you know, find a meeting, get there early, shake some hands, introduce yourself, make the coffee, ask how you can help, and do it over and over and over. So when life shows back up, you're not standing there going, I don't know what happened. Sound, the world outside just watches as we